The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Today, we'll attempt to sort out the good information from the bad and set the record straight on your good health. Healthcare and wellness issues can be so confusing these days with information constantly changing. Let us help you learn what you need to know. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Neil Nathan with co-host Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum.
Welcome, welcome to the cutting edge of health and wellness today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, and we'll refer to ourselves from now on as just Jacob and Neil. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, Researched Nutritionals, BioResource, Frequency Specific Microcurrent, Real Time Laboratories, and Natural Immunogenics for making this program possible. Since I personally use those products daily in my practice, as our program unfolds, I'll be mentioning some of those products when appropriate. Now, this is a taped show, so calling in will not be possible, but if you email us your questions or concerns to neilnathan@earthlink.net, we can respond to that on our next show. So please feel free to ask questions during the show or afterwards at that email address. I'd like to remind you that you can download the Voice America mobile app, and you can find us on iTunes, Google Playtime, and Kindle, all for free. If you're into social media, please like us and share us. We now have our own Facebook page, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. So please go to our Facebook page and like us and share us, and I will try to personally respond on that site to questions that you get and comment on today's show when appropriate. I'd also like to remind you that both Dr. Teitelbaum and I are available for consultations. Dr. Teitelbaum at endfatigue.com and my website, NeilNathanMD.com. So with that, let's get into today's subject. And I thought that we would take on a very important and probably very controversial subject, which I'm going to call over-medicated. And by that, I mean there's a tendency in conventional medicine to be free with the prescription pad, and there are a host of problems that comes from that. So, Jacob, why don't you kick it off?
Okay, so let's take a look at the scope of the problem. We're looking at likely over 200,000 Americans a year who die unnecessarily from toxicity from medications. For example, 30,000 deaths a year from Motrin family medications or arthritis medications called NSAIDs, with 16,500 bleeding ulcer deaths, and this is just in the United States alone, and a 40 to 300% increased risk of heart attack and stroke. So we're looking at some major issues. If you look at acid blockers, major cause of osteoporosis, nutritional deficiencies, a host of toxicities from a host of medications, osteoporosis, natural remedies, almost twice as effective, but the natural remedies, instead of rotting your jaw and giving toxicities, have side benefits like less arthritis. So the problem is that doctors know what the little voices in our head from the drug companies tell us. They pay for our journals in the form of advertising. They pay for our medical conferences. And God bless them, they pay for those good-looking cheerleader drug reps to come and fawn over us. So if it's not an expensive drug, most doctors are simply not going to hear about it. And in fact, it's virtually illegal in some cases to even talk about research on natural remedies. To look for the source of the problem, the Senate recently or last year voted on a simple measure. The measure said that it should be legal to discuss research on natural therapies. And in a Senate that can't agree if it was day or night, all but seven of the senators voting voted against it being legal to discuss research on natural therapies. which tells you whose pocket they are in. Now, the good news is most people tend to ignore the government as being irrelevant these days, and that's often a pretty healthy thing. The good news, again, is we're going to teach you today how to find natural alternatives that are research-proven, much more effective, and instead of giving toxicities and side effects, will give you side benefits.
And we're going to take on a wide variety of very, very common medical systems. We're going to talk about using non-steroidal anti-inflammatories for inflammation and joint pain. We're going to talk about blood pressure. We're going to talk about hypercholesterolemia, too much cholesterol, diabetes, as really major areas that Americans are exposed to a tremendous amount of medication in the aim of treating it. I believe, Jacob, that it's now known, multiple research projects have shown that the average person in a nursing home is on 12 to 15 prescription medications simultaneously. And, you know, to me that is like in the category of, wow, how can they function if they're on that much medication? And the obvious answer, if you spend any time in a nursing home, is, well, they don't.
And let me give you some other statistic. It was interesting. There was several studies doing autopsies on people with the diagnosis of Alzheimer's. It turns out that 30 to 50% of people diagnosed with Alzheimer's don't have Alzheimer's. They had other things that were readily treatable and correctable. And we maybe will talk about some natural alternatives to the Alzheimer medicines. But a major cause of what's diagnosed as Alzheimer's is really side effects from medications, often unnecessary ones. And you'll be amazed how often when you simply get people off the medications they don't need, their so-called Alzheimer's goes away.
Well, why don't we take these on one at a time? Joint pain or inflammation is a major component that affects millions and millions of Americans' lives, and the most common medications used to treat it are what are called NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, and those are things that you know of as aspirin, Advil, Motrin, ibuprofen, and all of its relatives.
And absolutely. And these are some of the most toxic medications that we have. And people are popping them like candy. And it's a crazy thing. If you look at head-on studies, and we'll give you several of them. For example, if you look at a study of a special highly absorbed curcumin combined with a special Boswellia, and it was a head-on study against Celebrex, the study showed that the herbal mix was much more effective than the Celebrex. And this is a blinded study. If you look at studies combining willow bark and Boswellia with cherry, willow bark in head-on studies against Motrin for back pain, for example, twice as effective. And again, instead of the side effects, with those studies using ibuprofen-type medications, they do endoscopies, they look down on the stomach, and the stomach is pretty ripped up. In the willow bark studies, they've gone ahead and looked at the endoscopy before and after as well, and the stomach looked perfectly fine, no problem. So some simple products, and if you have pain, write these down. My favorite one is called Curamin. That's a C-U-R-A-M-I-N, which is a pain relief miracle. I have people take 2-3 times a day. Again, you want to give natural remedies 6 weeks to see the full effect for chronic pain, often very quickly for acute pain. Another product is End Pain. Another one would be Comfrey, which is a topical cream. Goes by the name of Trauma Plant, which works very quickly in minutes and sometimes seconds that you just rub over the area. If you have tension headaches, Tiger Balm or menthol creams, just rubbed over the temples, the sides of the forehead, very helpful for pain. So you're going to find there's so many things that can get people pain-free. And you can take all of these that I mentioned along with any pain medications that you're taking, give them 6 weeks to see the full effect. And most people find then the doctor can go ahead and lower the pain medication. Now, when you go to the doctor, don't tell them, hey, doc, I took this herbal and got better, because the doctor's going to say, well, you're crazy and you never had the pain in the first place. Just tell them, doc, my pain's better. You're a genius. Can I stop the medication? and he'll sign and say, oh, yes, and then say thank you and leave. So.
In addition to that, as we've talked about before, food allergy is a huge cause of inflammation and joint pain, and very, very often missed by people not even aware that that could be contributing to some of their issues. The commonest foods, we've talked about this on a previous show, are things like wheat, gluten particularly, dairy, corn, sugar, citrus, pork, and the nightshades. So looking for that, and I would estimate, and I welcome your input into this, Jacob, that at least 70% of the patients who complain to me of joint pain, there is a food allergy component, and that by looking at that, patients can often make huge progress just by avoiding the things that bother them.
It can make a significant difference, and there's basically a four-part program that I use for healing arthritis, and I save the food allergies for last because that's kind of the most difficult and annoying area to go after. So the first thing I'm going to tell people is to feed your joints. Glucosamine sulfate, 750 milligrams twice a day. Again, combined with chondroitin, as effective. Despite the media misrepresentation of a study which has had all of the people on the payroll of the drug companies, so it's an amazing thing. But these natural things are as effective as the NSAIDs. The difference is the glucosamine, during a large study, people who were taking it were 17% less likely to die during the study than the people who are taking than who are not taking it. We talked about decreasing inflammation. I would add fish oil like Fectomega, where you just need one a day instead of eight pills a day, has a very nice effect on balancing immune function. And then you've got to use your joints. You want to stretch them to get the full range of motion. And a nice way to do that is to use a hot pack or a heating pad, put it over the joint. And after about 5 minutes, you'll find that the heat will make it easier for you to gently stretch that joint. And that range of motion is now yours again to use. And then go out and walk and use the joints. And then for the food allergies, NAEP, which is an acupressure allergy elimination technique, is remarkable. For helping to get rid of sensitivities. The problem is there's so many different food sensitivities going on now because of poor diet, poor digestion, problems with gut, leaky gut, that people are seeing more sensitivities. And if you keep trying to avoid everything you turn up to be sensitive to, pretty soon there's nothing left you can eat. So instead of taking that approach, use the NAET. Just go to the www.n like Nancy, A-E-T like Tom, .com to find one of over 10,000 practitioners worldwide who can get rid of your food allergies, knocking out one allergy in each 20-minute treatment. For the nightshades, those are more of a toxin than an allergy, and that's a pretty rare subgroup. And in that subgroup, they need to avoid those nightshade family foods, green peppers, tomatoes, those kind of things. And one of the ways that tomatoes used to be called poison apples for over a century, people wouldn't eat them. They thought they were poisonous.
So let me mention at this point one of our fine sponsors, and that would be Researched Nutritionals. In this context, Researched Nutritionals is particularly known for its research into immune, energy, and detox formulations, which promote a healthier quality of life for some of our most difficult patients. I use these products on a regular basis. And for today's show, I would particularly like to comment on their product ATP Fuel, which can help with mitochondrial healing, particularly for energy, and Ribose Cardio, which contains a variety of supplements, all of which really help to boost energy in a variety of ways. So that would be researchednutritionals.com or 1-800-755-3402 to look at their long line of supplements with all kinds of benefits to us. And with that, let's go to a break.
Your life, your health, your network.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Do you or does somebody you know face an ongoing battle with addiction? Our nation's drug problem is getting worse as we spend billions on the judicial system. It's time to fight the demand for drugs and not the supply. Listen for I Took the High Road with host Jacob Jansen, who has experienced both IV heroin addiction and recovery and is now here to both help and educate you with his story and engaging guests. There are great resources available for recovery, and there is hope. Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan@earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, joined by my friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have questions, please email them to me at neilnathan@earthlink.net because this show is being taped. Those questions we will come back to on our next show or two, and happy to answer them for you, and we will encourage you to send those questions. So we've been discussing the concept of being over-medicated, the tendency in our culture to provide medications in such a way that sometimes the side effects outweigh the benefits, where natural things might be of even greater benefit. And since we've been talking about joint pain and muscle pain, perhaps this would be a good way to segue, Jacob, into the treatment of cholesterol. A very high percentage of my patients that get the statin medications to treat their cholesterol and lower it wind up with joint pain and muscle pain. Part of that is that, for whatever reason, many physicians do not seem to be aware of the fact that part of the way that statins work is by depleting the body of coenzyme Q10, often nicknamed CoQ10, which is an extremely important nutrient in muscle function and energy. And so anyone who was on that medication really ought to be supplemented with CoQ10 on a regular basis. But this brings up the whole question of how well do those medications really work? Are they really necessary? And aren't there alternatives that can treat an elevated cholesterol?
Absolutely. And I consider the use of the statin cholesterol medications to treat just a high cholesterol number. I think one can call it a $26 billion a year scam, is what it's been described as. Now, if you have known heart disease, if you have angina, a history of a heart attack, even perhaps diabetes, these medications are life-saving and are very valuable. But if you're just treating a number, there's a good amount of data suggesting that the benefit is minimal. To put it in perspective, you're looking at maybe a 2 to 10% decreased risk of heart attack on a good day in those cases, what's called primary prevention, where eating chocolate is associated with a 40 to 50% lower risk of heart attack. Optimizing thyroid is associated with a 30 to 70% lower risk, even if your thyroid tests are normal, which is helping to make it more in the normal range if it's low normal. Owning a cat is associated with a 30% lower risk of a heart attack, making it 3 to maybe 15 times more effective than taking statin medications. Sorry, dog owners, the dog doesn't work. It's just the cat, for some reason, has been associated. But there's so many things. But it's a really, like you say, it's an over $26 billion a year drug. And with that kind of money, they can convince you that, and doctors, that, oh, my God, everybody should be on it. Give it to your pets. Put it in your gas tank. You know, it's amazing how it's being pushed. But what's really helpful? Well, number one, there's always diet and common sense. Optimizing testosterone in men, if the testosterone is low, helps. Optimizing thyroid in anybody. If I see a high cholesterol, to me that's a marker to look for low thyroid in the person, even if the tests are normal, and to consider in a man whether they need testosterone support if the testosterone level is under 450 to 500, depending on the age, even though normal is anything over about 220. And then I'm going to go with something called red rice yeast. Sylvan is a company that makes very good ones. The studies show that the red rice yeast is more effective at decreasing heart attack risk than the statins, by far, a lot more. And it does lower the number as well, which people like to see. The herb berberine, 200 to 250 milligrams, or even 500 milligrams, up to 3 times a day, if your stomach is okay with it, after about 6 weeks, can also help to lower the cholesterol numbers. Eating a bowl of Cheerios each morning. To give an idea of the money involved, the Cheerios company got a nasty letter from the government saying that they weren't allowed to talk about it lowering cholesterol and protecting the heart. Cheerios. Studies are really clear. Oats help. But it was competition to a very big industry that was very unhappy to see that. So, and again, these are not bad people, all good people all around. But it's just, you need to realize there's so much that you can do that your doctor's not going to know about.
I would add niacin to your list of things that are particularly helpful. At least 500 milligrams 3 times a day has long been shown. We've known that for 70 years, that it is very helpful in lowering cholesterol.
But Neil, the studies show that it's not prolonged life, and it can increase diabetes and liver inflammation risk. But the recent research is showing that it actually did not prolong life. So it helps the number, but it doesn't really help the person. So I stopped using the niacin.
Oh, interesting. Let's talk for a moment about actually measuring your cholesterol and why even that is fraught with misunderstanding. Several years ago, it's actually going on 5 or 6 now, there was an expert panel convened to decide what was the optimum level of cholesterol that people should be aiming for when they're looking at it, measuring it, and treating it. And until then, a normal cholesterol was still defined as 220 and an LDL of 130, and often did not take into account the good cholesterol, the HDL cholesterol, which many experts believe is even more important in protecting the heart and cardiovascular system. The expert panel decided that those levels needed to be lowered, meaning the normal cholesterol was dropped to 200, the LDL to 100. And an article was written by the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, one of the most prominent journals in this country, chastising the, quote, expert group at making these numbers, because when he looked at the members of the group, virtually everyone had ties to the pharmaceutical industry.
No, that couldn't be, Neil. You think that medical boards that make the medical recommendations and guidelines,
yes,
that doctors are told to follow and sometimes stripped of their license if they don't, are on the payroll of the drug companies? No.
Well, I know that this is shocking to you particularly. But I was even more shocked that editorial by probably the most prominent medical journal in this country got no attention. Literally, I thought that people would jump up and down and go, wow, we've got to revise our standards. We need an unbiased board making these recommendations. This is obviously ridiculous. This is no way for us to practice medicine. That did not happen. So,
that's right.
Part of the underlying information that we will be giving you throughout our shows is that you kind of have to do your own research. That includes even about what we're saying. It's not enough to take anybody's word for it. Often in medical practice, physicians are extremely worried about their jobs, doing things right, being chastised by the HMO or the company that they work in, and they will work very, very hard for their charts to look normal, for those cholesterol levels in the chart to be primo. Whereas what Jacob and I are saying is, it's just a number. Sometimes it's very relevant, but often it's just a number, and it does not reflect your health.
It really doesn't. And it's interesting, Neil, there's one of the past editors in the New England Journal of Medicine, Dr. Marcia Angelis, written a book on just the topic we're talking about today, about the toxicity of medications. And she's very bluntly stated, despite being an editor of one of the key journals in the country, she no longer believes the studies that she sees in journals anymore. They're so subject to financial bias by the drug companies and by the system that she just doesn't believe them. Another past editor, to paraphrase, has said that he considers most medical education to basically be slick advertising masquerading as science. But it's funny, most of these editors don't say these things until they leave the journal, or they find themselves soon after no longer being at the journal for some reason. So, hey, that's life in a big city.
Well, it's still, what we're really hoping is to help educate our listeners in that, if nothing else, do more research. Take nothing at face value. Look into it in more detail. Often, I find, I will have a patient who does have a slightly elevated cholesterol and a slightly elevated LDL, and their HDL is sky high, meaning they are protected. A number that doesn't get enough attention is the cholesterol HDL ratio, which is simply the cholesterol divided by the HDL number. And that number has long been known to be a major determinant of whether or not you have a risk for cardiovascular disease. If you have a very high HDL, the other numbers are way less relevant. And yet I see hundreds of the patients that I'm sharing with other physicians being asked to go on these expensive statin medications to treat the number. So again, that's part of the message I'm hoping to convey to our listeners today about looking at things. So with that in mind, I'd like to let our listeners know about several of our sponsors. I'd like them to know about the Real-Time Laboratories. Real-Time Laboratories specializes in analyzing the body for mold toxicity and mold-related effects. If you can go to realtimelab.com, you can learn a great deal more. And I would encourage our listeners to listen to last week's show, in which Dr. Joe Brewer discussed this in great detail. I'd also like to commend to our viewers the product that are made by Natural Immunogenics. Natural Immunogenics specializes in hydrosol silver. Some people think of it as colloidal silver, which is exceptionally helpful for a wide variety of medical uses. And I encourage them to call 888-328-8840 or go to natural-immunogenics.com for more information. And with that, we'll go to a break.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Are you ready for a real, fact-based show about alternative and natural approaches to health?
listen for Live Healthy, Be Healthy with Drs. Jim and Janine Fox. We're not about the latest health fads. We're about proven methods from real patients and real situations. Each week's show is an eye-opening look behind the scenes of real health. Live Healthy, Be Healthy can be heard live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, joined by my friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Again, this show is taped, so if you have questions, please email me at neilnathan@earthlink.net, and we'll try to answer those questions at our next airing. Again, I'd like to remind you that you can always make phone consultations with either Dr. Teitelbaum or myself. For Dr. Teitelbaum, please go to his very educational website, endfatigue.com, and for myself, neilnathanmd.com. So, again, if you've just joined us, we've been talking about some of the difficulties with medication and some of the problems that we see with over-medication, and I'd like to start this segment by talking a bit about high blood pressure, hypertension. Several years ago, a study was done showing that for younger men, and we're talking 30 or 40, if you aggressively treat their blood pressure, and this can have very beneficial effects at protecting their kidneys and making them healthier for a very long time to come. However, that study was extrapolated, meaning expanded, to mean everybody with high blood pressure needed to be treated extremely aggressively, so that when I went to medical school, which granted is a very long time ago, a normal blood pressure for a young adult was 140 over 90. And now it is felt that the ideal blood pressure is closer to 135 over 85 or a smidge lower. However, I was also taught in medical school that as we get older, our blood vessels get stiffer and it is harder for the body to pump blood through the blood vessels adequately. And so, to a certain extent, a higher blood pressure as you get older is normal. In fact, it's physiological. In fact, you kind of need a slightly higher blood pressure as you get older just because your physiology changes. And by older, I'm talking 60, 70, 80, or even higher here. So, in response to the mandate to lower blood pressures, a large percentage of patients in their 80s and 90s have been put on massive quantities of antihypertensive medications, and many of them are falling, injuring themselves, breaking their hip, dizzy, lightheaded, get up, the room spins, because their blood pressures are way too low to meet their physiological needs. And I can't count the number of patients that I have lowered their blood pressure medications, and they feel much better. And part of the problem that I get into is I get into a little tug of war with my colleagues. So they'll go to another physician, maybe following them for other purposes, and they'll increase their meds. And I'll see them, and I'll lower their meds. And the poor patient doesn't know what to do because they're between two warring philosophies. And what I usually tell them is it's not about philosophy. If you can't function on the higher medication, your body is trying to tell you that this is too much. So my take-home message from this is please understand what a normal blood pressure means for you at your age and begin to think about that accordingly. Jacob, your thoughts?
Absolutely. And I do want to put in perspective where many things like treating cholesterol, I think, are often just plain old stupid. Treating blood pressure that's high is really, really important. In fact, there's an argument to be made that most of the key benefits of modern medicine and modern healthcare come from four areas: antibiotics, vaccines, treating high blood pressure, and toilets. So we're not throwing a poo in the street anymore, public hygiene. Those account for the biggest part of medical benefits. So ignoring a high blood pressure is a bad idea. On the other hand, lower and lower and lower is not always better. So a simple question that I ask people is, how is that working out for you? If you're feeling worse on the medication overall, that's usually not a very good sign. And Neil, as you know, that maybe your body's way of saying, don't do that. Find another way. And I think aiming for 140 to 160 over 90 is a perfectly reasonable level to be aiming for at most people. But I want to note a couple other things. If you look at high blood pressure, we focused on salt, salt, salt. And what do the studies show? Salt is almost irrelevant for high blood pressure. If you salt restrict to a level that is even not sustainable, it drops your blood pressure by 0.8 of a point. Now, in blacks, it'll drop it 2 to 3 points. So, but it's really a minimal effect, and you have to drop it so low that you just can't do it. Basically, if you keep your salt intakes at a level that's really a wide range of what people do, even up to 5 grams or more a day, it's not going to have an impact on blood pressure. Super high levels might. The main benefit of salt restriction, and this has been shown in two recent large studies, one of them in JAMA, was that people who salt restricted down to the government guidelines were far more likely to die younger. So the main benefit of salt restriction is that you help our overburdened Social Security system. So I want to thank you for that. But for me, I wouldn't salt restrict beyond a reasonable amount. What I would do is increase potassium intake. Low potassium, low magnesium, low vitamin D. These are main triggers, and even low calcium. So, but especially that low potassium. So you want to increase things like coconut water. It'll have about 600 milligrams of potassium per 8 ounces, same amount roughly in an avocado or half an avocado. And a banana will have that as 1 milliequivalent per inch. So increasing potassium can make a big difference. If you have a shirt collar size over 16 and a half, you snore, you fall asleep easily during the day, you're overweight, look for sleep apnea, a common trigger for high blood pressure. So simple things like that can make a big difference. But the vitamin D has been implicated, vitamin D deficiency, as one cause of high blood pressure.
Since we're talking about salt, just another health-related concept. A lot of people have focused for a number of years on sea salt or more natural forms of salt, and unfortunately, most of those do not contain iodine. So I'm actually going to suggest to our listeners that if they do take salt, get it in the old-fashioned iodized Morton's containers, because iodine deficiency has shown itself to be very prevalent in our current civilization, because it's been removed from a lot of the foods that used to contain it.
And this is one of those few places that Neil and I will disagree a little bit. Iodine deficiency is back. It's coming back as an epidemic because the flour makers basically have stopped using the iodides and have switched to toxic bromides instead. In many countries, that's illegal to do. But here, it's not illegal. And so getting the iodine is important. However, I think that salt is much more than just sodium chloride. Just like silicone in your computer or in information systems is much more than just that simple atom. I think it's an information medium. So I personally prefer the sea salts. I like things like Celtic sea salts. And being in Hawaii, I'm especially partial to Hawaiian sea salts. But the iodine is critically important. But I recommend you get it in a good multivitamin. For example, I like the Energy Revitalization System, which is going to have 200 micrograms of iodine as one of the 50 nutrients in it that you get each day. And this way you're going to get optimal amounts. It'll be very hard to get the amount you really need from the salt. And most of the salt frankly, is dumped in food processing and is not iodized. So getting the iodized salt, good idea, or get the sea salt and get the iodine as part of a good multivitamin. But one way or the other, getting that iodine is critical. I absolutely agree.
Good. So we're on the same page. We're not disagreeing that iodine is necessary, just that if you're going to have a better form of salt, which does exist, you want to be sure that there's some iodine in your diet or somehow you are taking it in nutritionally. As usual, Jacob, we're not really disagreeing.
We're just kind of looking at fine-tuning.
just kind of disagreeing. As we look at some of the other issue here, and there is actually much more than we can even cover in a single program, maybe you'd like to start the discussion. We have just a few moments before another break. Let's start the discussion on osteoporosis.
Okay. A very simple thing. The mineral strontium, which costs maybe a nickel, 680 milligrams a day, is almost twice as effective as the medication Fosamax in preventing bone fractures and in increasing bone density. Now, almost twice as effective. And we now have multiple double-blind studies, and where Fosamax at 5 years causes more fractures than it prevents and causes a nasty kind of a fracture. The strontium has been studied going on now beyond 8 years and shown to continue to improve bone density and decrease fractures because it's making healthy bone. Calcium is a small player. I do not recommend playing calcium supplements, especially in women, associated with an increased risk of heart attacks. Instead, get your calcium from milk. Drink one glass of milk a day. Of course, you want vitamin D, magnesium, vitamin K. All of these are very good. The energy revitalization system I mentioned will supply all of those except for the strontium. Also, a supplement called OsteoStrong, which has many, many other things. Has everything but the strontium, but pretty much that your bones need. So many ways to get, again, side benefits instead of side effects.
And let me then comment on a few of our sponsors, and I think I'd like to come back to that subject of osteoporosis just when we come back from break. But I'd like to again mention two more sponsors. The first is frequency-specific microcurrent. This is a wonderful little energy device that we covered in a few programs back. I encourage you to archive that show and listen to it. The frequency-specific microcurrent is yet another way, very safe, non-drug-oriented, that patients can get inflammation under marked better control and really relieve and remove some of the inflammatory effects. So please go to frequencyspecific.com to learn more about that particular modality. The second is our long-term sponsor, BioResource. BioResource is located in Northern California, and for the past 16 years, they have distributed German-made natural medicines, including the Pekana, P-E-K-A-N-A line, and the Syntrion, S-Y-N-T-R-I-O-N line, which contain a wide variety of homeopathics that are extremely safe, very effective for inflammation. For example, for inflammation, there's the product called CyCirQ, S-Y-C-I-R-Q-U-E, which is a terrific anti-inflammatory that can be rubbed on or applied to any part of the body that hurts. The other product that is also effective in that way is Inflamiar, I-N-F-L-A-M-Y-A-R, another topical homeopathic ointment, very helpful for inflammation. So please go to bioresourceinc.com. That's bioresourceinc.com at 1-800-203-3775. And we'll go to a break.
Your life, your health,
your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness. Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill. Kelly covers our relationship with food and teaches us how easy eating well and living well can be, taking us on a weekly food journey, guiding us to a more rich and vibrant life. So tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, joined by my friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have any questions, you can email to me during the show at neilnathan@earthlink.net, and we will get back to you on those answers at a later broadcast. If you've just joined us, we've been discussing some of the difficulties with over-medication, and we've been talking about osteoporosis. And I particularly, Jacob, wanted to comment on the way osteoporosis is being presented to the American public. I suspect mostly because of the popularity of the medications and the intense work that the pharmaceutical industry produces to try to change the way we think about these things, most of my patients have somehow got the impression that as they get older, they are a fragile glass-like bone that will break at the slightest impact, especially if they've been told they had osteoporosis or osteopenia, which is a slighter version of the same thing. And so when that word is used, it's a little bit like the word cancer. It starts to freak people out. And I wanted to comment on the way the word is used, because when people have osteoporosis, what it really means is that you have a slight chance of having increased fractures if you are in a traumatic situation. It does not mean you're a fragile bone about to break. And the reason I'm emphasizing that, and I feel quite strongly about that, is that so many of my patients are absolutely upset by it, and they follow their T-scores that they get when they get their bone density analyzed. And as you're saying, Jacob, there's many other ways to improve bone density, even without using medication. So I just wanted to emphasize as a concept, please do not get freaked out by the word, because I think it has been misconstrued in terms of what it really means as a risk factor.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not that you're walking around as this fragile creature. In fact, there's a lot of women with osteoporosis out there that could probably snap my neck in a fight in a second. So it just means that you want to do things to increase the density of the bones. And some simple, basic, common sense things. One, go for walks. Weight-bearing exercise, walking, increases bone density. And if you do it outside in the sunshine, then you'll get vitamin D with it, which will make it even more effective. Also, get proper hormone support. If you're looking at things like estrogen, and again, I would use the bioidentical estrogen, not these toxic poisons, basically.
Right.
Patentable.
I would mention in that regard that we will be having a whole show on bioidentical hormones in January with Dr. Carolyn Torkelson, so you all can tune in and listen to that one.
Absolutely. So, you know, getting some estrogen and progesterone, it works best as a bioidentical topical and, frankly, works best as a vaginal cream, will markedly improve bone density. And the studies suggest that it does not increase breast cancer risk. In fact, using the bioidenticals probably lowers the risk, if anything, and certainly lowers heart attack and other risks. So it's a very healthy thing to do. So it's these simple things, avoiding excess alcohol, keep it in moderation, avoiding sodas. Excessive sodas can aggravate osteoporosis, even in children. So just simple things like that, and then common sense, and then know you've done the things. Take the strontium, take the either the energy revitalization system or the osteostrong, and then kind of know it, deal with life and enjoy it. It doesn't have to be a big deal.
I agree. There are simple things that can be done that really strengthen the bone, and that should be the focus, because I don't think the answer is taking the medications that are used here. While there is some evidence that they will change the risk of fractures, there's also evidence that they actually make the bones more fragile in the long run. So be careful about your use of medications in that arena as well.
Absolutely. And many standard orthopedists and bone specialists are recommending that at 5 years, the Fosamax family of medications be stopped.
Well, and I'm glad that they're beginning to do that now. Okay, Jacob, other things that we talked about. I know you began the discussion of dementia earlier in the show, and perhaps we can close our show with the discussion of what people can do to improve their cognition and the way their brain works, and also to reduce their fear that they're getting dementia as they move along here.
Absolutely. In fact, I was just asked to write a chapter on cognitive dysfunction for the major nutrition textbook used by nutrition students in the country. For depression, new studies show that highly absorbed BCM curcumin, it has to be a form called Curamed, 750 milligrams twice a day, more effective than standard antidepressants, especially for severe depression. Give it 6 weeks to work. Effect omega for fish oil, simple things. For dementia, as we mentioned, 30 to 50% of people diagnosed with Alzheimer's don't have the slightest, tiniest bit of Alzheimer's disease. They've got other things affecting cognition. And even those with Alzheimer's also likely have other things that if you simply tune those up, will help. So we have a study going on now, and in fact, if you know somebody with Alzheimer's who would like to be in the study, they can contact my office at 410-573-5389. That's 410-573-5389 for information on being in the study. Where we're doing what you call the MIND protocol. So M is metabolism. We're optimizing hormones, thyroid, estrogen, testosterone. I is infections, figuring out sinusitis, candida, bladder, and other infections. You know, when you have a cold, you feel fuzzy. When you have an infection, you feel fuzzy. It's not a big deal for us, but in somebody with dementia, it's a major difference. N is nutritional support. Curcumin, again, 70% lower Alzheimer's rates in India than in the United States, and it's been traced back to the curcumin, which is the yellow spice in curries. The curcumin has been shown to melt the amyloid plaques. There's now a large double-blind study going on looking at, but again, it has to be a highly absorbed form. Most curcumins will not work because they don't get absorbed. So again, the one I would use is Curamed.
Jacob, let me remind our listeners that we had done a whole show devoted to Alzheimer's and dementia earlier in the year, and I'd like to encourage them to go listen to the archived version to get even more information. But we're just about out of time today, so thank you all for listening, and I'd like to welcome you to next week's show, which will be our holiday show, and Jacob and I will do a show we're calling Enjoy Your Vices, How Not to Feel Guilty Over the Holidays. So thank you for listening, and be well.
Thank you again for joining us for The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. Please join Dr. Neil Nathan and co-host Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum again next Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. And this week, apply what you've learned today to enjoy better health.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.